Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Imagine that you're living in relative comfort. I know that for some of you that's hard to imagine, but imagine it anyway. You've grown to love the status quo because it offers a stress-free life. Oh, you may have a little pain, but you think to yourself, well, that's okay, because as long as it doesn't get worse, I'm okay. You may feel like you don't have enough money, you don't have enough this, you don't have enough power, you don't have enough beauty, you don't have enough youth, you don't have enough of all these things. But it's okay. Because unless it gets worse, I'm for the status quo. You may say, just keep things the way they are. That becomes the words you begin to live by. Just keep things as they are. I think that's the way the world really is. We try to keep things as it is. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of what may come. We're afraid. And yet God tells us, cast out the spirit of fear. Because God didn't give you the spirit of fear. He gave you the spirit of a sound mind. Not the spirit of fear. And so when you look at things, you say to yourself, well, if I can just maintain where I am now. Until you become aware that there's a little tremor under your feet. You begin to feel it. The world's beginning to shake. You see it on television. You see it all around you. You begin to understand that the things that you always thought were you could count on are beginning to shake. They're not what they used to be. Perhaps you're getting old enough that you now realize you can't stretch like you used to. You're not as young as you used to. You don't bounce off concrete the way you used to. The world is beginning to shake, and you're growing aware of the dangers that are out there. The dangers that threaten to upset the status quo, the way that you currently live. Becoming more and more real to you. And you begin to think what until now have been unthinkable thoughts. You begin to ask yourself some questions. You begin to say, well, you know, if everything's shaking, am I going to lose my job? You know? Am I going to lose my health? Well, what's happening here? Am I going to lose my identity? Am I going to slip off into some sort of netherworld and not be able to remember? Am I going to get Alzheimer's? What's going to happen to me? What is happening now? You begin to think about these things. You begin to say, My world is shaking. I no longer feel secure. I feel vulnerable. I feel frail. I'm beginning to feel like anything could come along and hurt me at any moment. I'm beginning to get paranoid about the shadows that I see and what may hide or lurk within them. And in this state, you begin to hear voices. Voices from television, voices from radio, voices on billboards, voices in the street, voices at work, voices even at church that begin to say the same thing. Help is on the way. And you go, wait a minute. What's that going to cost me? I can't accept anything like that. What is this? Is this a new drug that's going to cure all my aches and pains? Going to make me feel like the fountain of youth has just come into my body? What's going on with that? What's happening to me? Are you trying to sell me something? You telling me that if I get enough gold and silver, everything will be okay? Are you trying to tell me that I can listen to all the politicians and all their promises, and if I just hook my star to them, then I'll be okay? Can I put my trust in what people say or what they want to sell me? What am I going to do? Am I going to let them try to fix everything that's wrong with me? Fix everything that's wrong in my world? Or am I going to try to take it on myself? What does it all mean? Well, if you've ever had those questions, then you need to listen very carefully to what the one who has the answers has to say. Let's go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that You are the one that comes to secure for us a future we can count on. You're the one that we really put our trust in, not the ones that try to sell us something on television or radio or try to make promises that they can't keep to us, but You're the one that we can stand on. Father, help us to understand that. Help us to reach for You first instead of the medicine cabinet. Let us understand that You need to be first, not last in the hit parade of the things that may help, that You're the one that we should seek. Father, help us to understand Your nature, Your love for us. Help us, Father, to have eyes to see the wonders that You produce around us every day. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about born. You know, this is the beginning of the Easter season, really, for many of us. And we need to start at the beginning. The beginning for many of us is the birth of our Lord. And so I thought it appropriate that we start with Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and follow. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one! The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." You know, Jesus is the help that's on the way. Jesus is the one that God is sending to each and every person on this earth today, who cries out to Him, who seeks, for those who seek shall find. His birth was entirely at the initiative of God. Mary, who the message came to, was shaken by this word. Her status quo was completely turned upside down. She would never be the same. She knew what it meant. Think about Mary, who is a virgin. Her excuse was, "Well, I've never known a man." She knows what will happen when God begins His process of growing within her a child. She's going to be at great risk. She's going to be at risk of being stoned as an unwed mother. She's going to be at risk of giving childbirth. And in those days, childbirth was a real threat to women's lives. Many women died in childbirth. She knew she'd be outcast from her family, from her own husband, from the man she wanted to marry, might reject her. She knew that everyone could reject her as a fallen woman, as a woman who was delirious with thoughts of grandeur. She knew all of that. She knew the cost. But the angel doesn't tell Mary what to do in response to what God's initiative was. In fact, God was going to perform a miracle in her body. That's the way God acts in our lives every day. He does not wait for us to save ourselves. Oh, I grew up so many times listening to God does for those who do for themselves. I've heard that a zillion times. But it's not true. God does not wait for you to rescue yourself. First of all, there would be nothing you could do to rescue yourself. All of your efforts would be in vain. You wouldn't have the foggiest notion of how to begin. God doesn't expect you to form your own rescue, to do for you what only God can do. He doesn't have that expectation of you. He never has. He didn't have it with Adam and Eve. He doesn't have it with you or me. It's not about us. It's all about God. God takes the initiative by sending His only Son to rescue us. We know three things about the one who's coming. First of all, He is God. You know, many people stumble over this. But let me tell you that the Scripture says that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Secondly, He is man. He's all man and all God. And third, He is holy. Look at Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, He who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Paul was amazed at the love of God, that God would come out of His heaven, out of His glory, and come as a child into our world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. He left His holiness in the presence of God, you might say. His holy home in the presence of God. Think about that. You don't like to be disturbed from your status quo. Think about taking a journey that would take away your status quo. Jesus' status quo was that He lived in the presence of God. He was God. Nothing was made that was not made by Him. He left it. For what? For you and for me. He left His home. He left His home. He left the Father out of our love. He hears our cries. He heard our cries. He comes to earth to rescue us from those fears that we have. Let us consider for a moment that you and I are stranded out at sea. We're in a little rubber dinghy, and there's no ship in sight. But what is in sight are the storm clouds, and the waves get larger and larger and larger. And we've got to look to our own selves, and we look and see what's in the boat. What are the resources we have to get out of the storm to save ourselves? We have a rope. A rope doesn't do us any good. What does a rope do? We have little oars that we can move the boat around with. We have plenty of water and food. We got enough gold to buy everything we need in life. What else do we have? We have a little ship-to-shore radio. But the only thing the ship-to-shore radio does is send out a signal over and over and over again, save our souls. Save our souls. Save our souls. S-O-S. Save our souls. And that's all we have. In other words, our resources that we have mean nothing. We're facing a disaster. We're going to die at sea. We need someone to come and save us. Some ship on the horizon, or maybe an airborne kind of rescue. We need that. We're desirous of that. We send out the little radio signal as the waves grow and they jump into the water, comes into the boat, and we're trying to bail the water out of the boat. And that's when we see a helicopter coming. We need to know that that helicopter can see us amongst the waves in the stormy sea. But he does see us, and he comes over, and we need to know that he can rescue us. And he doesn't just send down a rope for us. We're too weak with fear to grab a hold of a rope. He secures something to the helicopter, and he himself comes down to rescue us. Someone we can see and touch and feel as he wraps his arms around us, embraces us, and takes us up out of here. That is what Jesus came to do. He came from heaven above to earth to show us the way. He came to pick us up out of the stormy seas of life and allow us to find the peace that only He can bring. He is the one who comes to rescue us. He's the one who hears our cries. He's the one who sees our need. He is the help that God promised since the beginning of the world. And you can be confident that He's going to come. He is coming. He said He would, and so He is coming. You know, there are many things in this world that we can't understand. But this we must try to understand, that God never, ever forgets us. His mind is set on us. Even as we're here in this room, God is here with us. You know what that means? That means that He hears everything we say. He knows every thought we have. He hears us. He knows us. He's sitting in the room here with us because Jesus promised, wherever two or three are gathered in His name, there will I be in the midst of them. He's right here. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even when you're by yourself, God is with you. He knows what you're going through. If you can recognize that He sends Jesus from heaven to earth to show the way, to come from the earth to the cross, our sins to bear. If you begin to understand that the baby was brought and placed in a feeding trough so you and I could consume Him, He came and was placed in a cradle in order to prepare Him for the cross. He came to die for you and for me. If you can understand those things, then maybe you can understand what James Packer meant when he said this. He said, the Word was made flesh. God became a man. The divine Son became a lowly Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless baby, unable to do more than to love us and stare and wiggle and make noises. He needed, like every other baby, to be changed and fed. He needed to be taught to speak like any other child. He became totally man. The birth of Jesus is an unfathomable mystery. But it makes sense of everything else if you understand it. When you understand it, you can understand Jesus when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." You have no doubts of that because you know who he is. He's God. When he gives you a command, it's okay. You can understand that he has the right to give it to you because he is God. When he does the miraculous in our lives, and he seems to do it with us in this little church all the time, when he does that, well, we accept it. We give him praise and glory for it because he's the one that did it, not the doctors. But God, the great physician, did it. You can understand that. If Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, then what would you expect him to do? Oh, you may be a little confused. Why in the world did he allow enemies to come and nail him to a cross? I mean, that's hard to understand, that kind of love. It's hard to understand how his mission was completed there, but you don't have any problem at all realizing that he rose from the dead, if you know he's God. Because if he is God, you can't kill him. He never is diminished. He is God with us. Doesn't surprise us that he rose from the dead. Once you know he is and the outcome, well, what other outcome would you expect? He's God. If he is the help that God promised since the beginning of the world, you can understand that you're safe. Even though you cry out, he hears. He hears your "save our souls." He hears the repentance. He hears the broken and contrite heart. He hears you. He knows what you need. Jesus said, "You ask for things, but your Father knows you need these things." He knows it. He knows what you need. He looks at a sparrow, and knows when everyone that falls, he certainly knows everything about you who are made in his likeness. He knows, and he's able. He's able to do what no one else could do. Let's stand back for a moment. Let's just look at the sweep of God's saving work. Jesus came from heaven to earth. An incredible journey. A journey that boggles our minds. But he came for a purpose. He was born of a virgin. A little girl. A girl that no one would have paid attention to because, after all, she was only a woman. And women in his time, in Jesus' time, were lower than a slave. He came down and he was born of a virgin. He lived among us. He went out through us, the people of the land, people like you and me. Not people who inherited $200 million or whatever, you know. Just like you and me. He came for the purpose of reconciling. Now, only God can reconcile man to God. And so he came as God. And only man can suffer the punishment for a man. And so he came as a man. The Son of God came so that a man, he became a man so that the sons and daughters of men could become the sons and daughters of God. So how does it affect my life? Well, first of all, it answers all your questions. You know, once I was asked by another preacher, If Jesus is the answer, what's the question? I said the question you should ask is, who is the answer? Jesus is the answer. He is the answer to every heartache we have, to every trouble we have in this world, to every threat we have. He is the answer. There are no wonder drugs. Now, there's not anything you can take that's going to make you feel 20 years younger. Maybe you could take it and think you feel 20 years younger. You take a step off a curb, and I can tell you from personal experience, you will not feel 20 years younger when you hit the concrete. There are no wonder drugs. There's no hope that all the gold and silver in the world can sustain you. God said, remember, what does it profit a man to win the whole world and lose his soul? Can't find the answers in a horoscope. Can't find the answers from a mentor who will guide you. You're in a leaky boat out at sea, and your resources are of no value whatsoever. But help is on the way. One who can lift you up and lift you out of the stormy seas is sent to be born to be just like you, to know your fears, love you, care for you, and rescue you from yourself.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.